Nick, here we are again for another episode of Home on the Res. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm interning right now at CTV, and I love it.
Isn't journalism great? Every day is something new. I'm working at CBC on the weekends while I finish up my journalism degree.
Congratulations. So what's up for this new episode of Home on the Res?
This episode is about an issue we cover a lot in the news, opioids and meth and other illegal drugs.
That's an important issue. But what does that have to do with housing?
Drugs are a housing problem when the drugs are made or even just used in houses that are owned by First Nations.
So how does making or using drugs affect First Nations houses?
The same way it affects any homeowner. If someone damages a house with drugs, the house isn't safe for anyone to live in.
And lots of First Nations already don't have enough houses for their people.
Exactly. Lori talked to John Krajowski and Dean May. John is a project manager with Finboa, and he's a criminologist on the side.
And Dean May owns Macon Hazmat Solutions, one of the only companies in Western Canada that can decontaminate drug houses and make them safe for new tenants.
Here's Lori's conversation with John Krajowski.
Did Finboa get involved with this specific problem?
Over the past few years, like we'd be attending housing conferences, and they talk about the problem of contamination in homes by community members, and a lot of the councils didn't know how to respond to these situations, so they would approach Finboa and many of our inspectors. So we're sort of forced as an organization to try to figure out how to help councils respond to, you know, the new issue of contaminated homes with the illegal drugs.
Why are the contaminated homes due to illegal drug activities a concern for First Nations?
Well, we know housing is a huge asset for any community. It doesn't matter if it's on or off, or a landlord in a large town or a small town. It's a huge asset. And what happens, illegal drugs, these homes get destroyed. Some get damaged beyond repair, some need substantial repairs. So in many cases, the communities do not have extra monies to repair these homes. The other problem is because of the shortage of homes, if a home is contaminated, you know, that leaves a further shortage.
So is there any expertise or capacity within First Nations to help them address these issues of contaminated homes due to illegal drug use?
We found that there are people off reserve that have the expertise, but by and large, many of the First Nations, they're left on their own to try to figure this out. And as a result, Finboa, we provided a document on our website called Eagle Eye on Housing, Illegal Drugs Activities in Homes. And it's important because this document helps the First Nations decision-making on how to move forward with illegal drugs. So in the documents, for example, we provide reference materials on what to do with a home. So if a home has illegal drugs, you know, PPE, personal protection equipment needs to be worn going in. And we suggest that they contact a laboratory to obtain what's called swipe samples. And then once swipe samples are taken, then they can gauge better in terms of how much damage is in the home. And maybe the home can be repaired using industrial cleaners. Maybe after several cleaners, then you do another swipe and you might have fixed a problem. If not, you might have to clean it further. And maybe the end result, you may have to take the home down and destroy it, but at least there's options available for what we identified in terms of remediation.
How do you see councils moving forward to address contaminated homes?
The challenge, I think, for a lot of the councils, they need to establish really clear policies and procedures on how to address tenants that are using illegal drugs. And they need to develop policies and make it clear with the tenants, if you use illegal drugs, you know, we're going to get the RCMP or the police involved, and we're going to move to evict you as tenants. I think it's a new issue for a lot of the councils, And by having strong housing policies, they can address these issues before it becomes expensive. Because at the end of the day, they're destroying an asset that's a community asset, so everybody pays.
About the social impacts of drug houses on First Nations, but we don't think about the economic impacts for the whole community when a big asset like a house is damaged.
And it's not a simple thing to clean a house that has been contaminated by drugs.
Not if you want to do it safely. Here's Lori's conversation with Dean May. His company specializes in cleaning hazardous chemicals.
My first question, Dean, what do you do?
We specialize in hazardous cleaning, anything dangerous. Big part of it is drug related. And the nice part about what we do is we have testing kits that they're called presumptive testing. So we could go in and we can do drug testing right there on site and get immediate answers on site for what we need to protect ourselves for, whether it's fentanyl, meth, cocaine, heroin.
Can you tell me how you got involved in the business of dealing with contaminated houses?
I'm a career hazmat guy. I've been dealing with everything hazardous my whole career. We were contacted by somebody that had a grow-op and wanted to know if we could remediate a grow-op. You know, I can deal with 50 rail cars that looks like somebody threw together a handful of toothpicks. So yeah, I'm overqualified to deal with grow-ups. And then what would it be, I guess, maybe 4 years ago now when fentanyl made a big showing. And once again, like I said, I'm a career hazmat guy. So my opinion is if they can make it in the lab, we can find a way to neutralize it. I found a military grade product that it neutralizes out fentanyl, carfentanyl, and all the derivatives of it.
So if you were advising First Nations chiefs and council on how to address contaminated homes due to illegal drugs, what would you suggest?
Personal protective equipment for any place that is suspect and testing. And then if it comes back verified, then yeah, I absolutely recommend remediation before reoccupancy.
We're going to take a scenario where an occupant was smoking illicit drugs for a few years and were evicted. So the home is now vacant. Can you describe the damage that is done in these homes?
A lot of that you could say is a hidden damage, hidden hazards, because yeah, you evict them, so they really don't care. They grab what they want and they leave you behind with the mess to clean up of, you know, just general garbage and debris. But then the hidden hazards that you potentially aren't aware of underneath that pile of clothes or garbage could be sharps. You know, there could be needles, there could be residual drugs. The residual could be on the walls and on the ceiling.
So how do the homes where illegal drugs were smoked or used produce illegal drugs? How do they pose a health concern to the new occupants?
You know, when it comes to, let's say, fentanyl, for example, just the amount of fentanyl, the equivalent to a couple of grains of coarse salt, is enough to potentially be fatal. So if, you know, that fine dust of fentanyl in a production facility, for example, you know, and people are moving around, maybe the furnace kicks on or the air conditioner and disperses it, makes it airborne. and people breathe it in, or the children, let's say, for example, are crawling around on the floors and they come in contact with it, whether it's dermal, where it's absorbed through the skin, or they physically touch it, have it on their hands, and then touch their face and get it into them that way, where that could be fatal. And then the other side is methamphetamines. There's so many crazy chemicals that they use to make that stuff with that, you know, any one or two or a combination of them is, you know, major health hazards.
Is it just when people are making illegal drugs that it's hazardous, like harmful, or just using? Does both. It depend on the drug? It's both?
It's both. So it's not just a matter of the production, it's also the matter of the user sites.
And have you done a lot of work on First Nations reserves?
We've done a couple, not one.
And has there been anything different that you did in those homes that you would do anywhere else?
Nope. The property's a property. We do a lot of vehicles too, so whether it's a property or a vehicle, basically the same procedures apply. Make it safe and make it clean.
Okay, that's all the questions I have. Thank you very much, Dean.
No problem. It was great talking to you and nice to see you.
You as well. Take care.
Okay, you too. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so are there any best practices on how to remove or clean walls, ceilings, or floors? And what do you do with kitchen countertops appliances? Do you need to discard all the appliances and electronics from in the homes?
Actually, the product that we use when, if it's fentanyl, we have that military-grade product that we go in and we spray it, and we spray everything on top of the counters, behind the fridge, behind the stove, floors, ceilings, walls, and that neutralizes it. And then the next step is we go in and whitewash and clean, basically to clean our neutralizing agent off of everything. Because once we spray it, within minutes, 10 minutes at top, the drug residue is neutralized. But then now we have to go in and clean off our neutralizing agent.
And what about the heating or the ventilation systems in the home? Should they be cleaned or replaced?
Absolutely. Actually, that is mandated through Alberta Health on any properties that are locked down by Alberta Health. It is actually mandated that the HVAC system be professionally cleaned. And we actually take that one step further. After we have our HVAC system cleaned, we spray a product in there, and so it'll glue everything into place so it can't be set free anymore.
So when the homeowner or the landlord knows that a home was used for illegal drugs, should a worker just walk into the home, or should they wear personal protective equipment?
Oh, definitely personal protective equipment. You know, it should be a best practice.
I wish I'd bought shares in personal protective equipment about 6 months ago.
No doubt. That's the first step in being safe, but that's just the start. There's testing and special cleaning products. That's why it's nice to have people like Dean around to consult or assist communities.
That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening to Home on the Res. I'm Mick Favel.
I'm Jennifer Francis. Stay safe, everyone.